We are still marveling. And you might think to yourself, well, I mean, this is Christmas. Surely you have a Christmas message. I mean, I have a, this is a little bit of a Christmas message, but mostly we're just sticking with the plan. The plan is we're going to marvel at our salvation. The depths of our salvation are unreachable by us. We can't find the bottom of them. They are, the Bible tells us, endless treasures available to us in our salvation, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we are continuing to pursue that. And so we're in this very long series, and now we're inside of a smaller series, inside of that series where we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I've talked to you about this before, that the fruits of the Spirit are God's characteristics. And as we grow in our relationship with Him, then out pops a little bit of fruit, and out pops a little bit of fruit, and out pops a little bit of fruit, and so on and so forth until we actually start to look like Jesus. You know, we've got some patience growing, and we've got some faithfulness growing, and we've got some joy growing, and we've got some kindness growing, and so we slowly sort of turn into our God, and that's how He designed it. He wanted us to be that way, and so that's the series that we're in here. We're talking about marveling in our salvation, and being and the fruits of the Spirit. And so remember, John 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. Right, that's good news for us because it's not just our ticket to heaven, right? Which would be enough if that's all that it was. That would be enough. But it's more than that. We can have a full life here, okay? Christmas is such a fantastic gift, and it is a gift to us in and of itself. Like, Christmas is God coming to earth, right? That's the whole idea behind Christmas. And I want you to recognize this. Jesus didn't just show up on earth like when He was born as a baby. Okay, I want you to think about this. Jesus was placed in the womb. Jesus was an embryo or whatever, whatever the science is on that. I don't know. I'm not a scientist or whatever. But Jesus didn't just show up here when He was born. Right? Like, as a teenager, I guess I kind of always thought that, like, Jesus as a human was like this human thing or whatever all throughout, you know, his teenage years and stuff, but then he didn't really come into his full, like, Jesusness. I was a teenager. You know, when you're a teenager, things don't make sense. Anyway, he didn't really come into his, like, full Jesusness until he stepped into his ministry, but that's just not true. He was Jesus from the moment he was placed in the womb. He was Jesus when he was born. He was Jesus as a child. He was Jesus as a pre-teenager. Can you imagine? Pre-teenagers are terrible. Right? But somehow Jesus must have kept it together because he was Jesus the whole time, perfect and sinless the whole time. That's such a gift. And when you put it in tandem with Easter and what Easter is, because Christmas is wonderful, right? Now a God from heaven has come down to our earth. That's an awesome gift. And then when you pair it with Easter, because if God had come but not died and resurrected, then we'd still be kind of lost. We'd still be lost, right? But Jesus then, you pair that with Easter, and there's a gift, right? Now that's where all of our benefit comes from, is from Jesus' death and resurrection. So Christmas and Easter are these two sort of bookends of this amazing, awesome thing that God did for us. And I think that's great. And so that is the whole reason behind this season. We're celebrating the fact that our God, a God, came to earth for us. To my knowledge, there's no other religion in the world that celebrates anything like that. And certainly none that where their God died for them and resurrected. So that's really good news for us. Christmas is such a wonderful holiday. And I mean, we make it about buying stuff and Christmas presents and awesome suits. We make it about stuff like that, but truthfully, it's about the birth of Jesus. It's about God come down. That's what's awesome. Okay, so in our series, we are talking about, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and now we're on to gentleness. And so today is just going to be, this is going to be a shorter sermon because we got a lot of Christmas carols we want to sing, and we're going to do communion, and so this is sort of a sermonette, if you will. I won't keep you too long. But we're going to talk about gentleness. Now, before we get into that too deep, I just want you to think about Jesus. Jesus, as when he was here on earth, was a warrior. Make no mistake about it. Jesus was, in the kindest way that you can say this, he was brutal and vicious against those who stood against what he believed in, right? He was a warrior. He was not afraid to stand and poke his finger in the face of those leaders of the day and so on. So we're going to read a couple of scriptures here just to look and see how awesome Jesus was as a warrior. So we're going to be in John chapter 2, verse 13. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. So Jesus went into Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip. So he didn't just start screaming. He left the temple and made a whip. I don't know how long it takes to make a whip, but I mean, it wasn't like a 20-minute thing, I feel certain. He made a whip from some rope and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle and scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor and turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered the prophecy about from the scriptures, "Passion for God's house will consume me." So here's Jesus. This, you know, we all look at Jesus as this like love, especially in today's day and age, right? Jesus is everything is love. Everything's okay because I love you and you stay just like you are and you're wonderful. And that's not how Jesus was. Jesus was vicious over sin. Now, and here's what's crazy about this story, is that they were allowed to sell these things in the temple. Because if you're not a farmer, then you didn't have a sheep or you didn't have a goat to sacrifice. You had to go and buy it. If you were a potter or whatever, like there was no sacrificing of potter. There was no sacrificing of whatever. So if you wanted to go and sacrifice a dove or whatever, you had to purchase it. And you were allowed to do that. But these people had taken it to an extreme. So sort of like our CEOs of today, they were making a lot of money off of the people coming in to buy these things. And so that's what actually made Jesus mad. It wasn't that he was mad that they were selling these things, because that's in the Old Testament law. You can go and read it. It's in there. They're allowed to do that. But what was making him mad is that they were making a lot of money off of it. Let's look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 15. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of your father or mother must be put to death. But you say, 'It is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say that they don't need to honor the parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites!" Exclamation point. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." And anyway, later is one of the funniest scriptures in all of the Bible. The disciples say, "Do you realize that you offended the Pharisees with what you just said?" I think that's so funny. Like, how did? Of course, he stuck his finger in their face and called them hypocrites. So Jesus was not this laissez-faire, like just what will be, will be. He was not like that. Jesus was a warrior over what he believed was right. And I think that's how we need to be. But Jesus was also gentle, okay? And this is what God wants us to be. So I'm going to read some more scriptures here. John chapter 8. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her, what do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the first one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When his accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. That's gentle. It is, he called her out on her sin, but he also forgave her of her sin. Now, this particular scripture really set me free when I was in my early 20s. I had done something really dumb. It wasn't that I had done something. I had said something extraordinarily arrogant, which is kind of my style. I was just really beating myself up over it. I was just taking forever to forgive myself. I was just beating myself up, and like, the Lord will never love me again. And you know how, I mean, I'm not the only one in here with that experience. You guys do that too. And I was actually out in the woods, and I had the little pocket Bible, because that was back before cell phones. And I read this scripture, and I felt the Holy Spirit read that to me. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Right? Like, God wanted me to learn my lesson from my extraordinary arrogance. But he also, go and just don't do it anymore. Like, this is over now. You don't have to continue to beat yourself up over it. You can let this go. You are far meaner to you than the Lord ever is. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you wind up in hell, okay, then that's far meaner than you'll probably ever be to yourselves. But we are far more vicious, more brutal, more unforgiving with ourselves than Jesus ever is. You sinned. Learn from it, repent of it, and then go and sin no more. That's gentle. That's who our God is. He's gentle. Let's look at another one. Let's see. This is John 13, 1 through 5. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew, listen to this sentence, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Jesus knew, what is that? Verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything. And so, with that authority, what did he do? Like, if this is written about Jared, then Jared had been given all authority, so he built himself a gigantic house. Jared had been given all authority, so he made everybody give him a bunch of money, or made everybody worship him. Or if this was written about me, it wouldn't be, now I've been given all authority, so let me serve you. And that's what Jesus does. This is next level. I've been given all authority, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and washed feet. That's next level. And that would not be written of me, right? I hate feet anyway. Like, this is just a personal thing. I just don't like feet. That's super gross to me. But also, had I been given authority over everything, I don't think you would catch me washing feet. I'm just not that perfect. I'm just not that good. I'm just not that gentle. All right, and then let's look at one more. And I really wish Linus was here to read this to us, but he's not, so I will read this. Luke chapter 2. That night, there were angels staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, for the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." And then the men rushed into the village and they found Jesus lying in a manger. Jesus, the King of Kings, the most worshipped, you know, being ever. Like, he stepped down out of awesome comfort. I don't know what heaven is like because I've never been there, but I feel certain the temperature is always perfect. I feel certain that your knees don't ache. I feel certain that you can see well. I feel certain that you don't ever sneeze or cough. I feel certain that it's this wonderful, awesome, perfect place. And Jesus stepped down out of that to lay in a manger around, like, farm animals. This was not, I mean, like, in our nativity scenes or whatever, we sort of picture this as, like, this beautiful little place. But this was a barn. How many of you have ever been in a barn with livestock? It's not a nice place, right? It's not a nice place to keep a baby. Most people in our day and age wouldn't even let our kid play with it at 2 or 3 years old. Like, you wouldn't even go in a barn. And so, but here's our gentle God. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And he's gentle enough, humble and meek enough to lay in a manger. That's good news for us. That's our example. That's who we need to be. Okay, so the band can start moving. I got one more scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This 4 verse 1 is just one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." Always be humble and gentle. God set an example for us to always be humble and gentle. And that's what he wants from us. That's part of the fruit of being fruit of the Spirit, right? Is being gentle. And, you know, we go through waves of being gentle and waves of not being gentle, I'm certain. That's all of us. But that is the command from God, is to be gentle. And that's the command for you. Now, we're gonna sing a song, and so I want you to stand up and worship with us, and then we'll come back after that song and do communion. And if somebody would, Gene, would you go get our kid? Oh, he's on his way. Okay. All right. So the kids are gonna be coming in during this time, so we can do communion all together. All right, I'll pray us in. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to see your example of gentleness and to follow it. God, to be gentle like you were. Help us to be meek and humble like you were. God, you are beautiful, you're wonderful, and we thank you so much for Christmas, for you coming as a baby. It's wonderful for us. We give you our lives in Jesus' name.